What you're about to experience is one man's quest to see beyond the tumultuous period we're in and to envision what lies just beyond our grasp, yet well within our reach. Welcome to Larry Rifkin's America Trends, where the future has arrived, and it's just in time.
Welcome back to another episode in our series on the trends in travel here on AmericaTrendsPodcast.com. Larry Rifkin and John Krofcik.
How are you?
As always.
How you doing?
Good. I'm enjoying this series. I really am.
Yeah,
how about you?
It's interesting. It's very interesting.
Well, the people we've had are great. And I love Maggie Espinosa's energy. And you're going to be hearing from her next. The way she talks about vintage train travel is really infectious. It makes you just want to hop aboard. And she's got some really interesting ways to look at traveling on a train more than as a commuter.
Yeah, it sounds like a fun way to travel. I don't know. It would be fun to take a train somewhere and try it out.
How many days could you exist on this linear highway, if you will? How long?
I don't know. I suppose it depends on where I'm going and what kind of scenery they have and stuff and how much I can move around.
I know. You get up in that berth and you can't get out. I don't know. Well, I know. I'll tell you, there are people who love the idea of an overnighter. There are other people on a train who say, get me on. I love it for 3 or 4 hours and then I have to get off. So it depends. But I think she is going to introduce us to many wonderful opportunities, some for the shorter treks, others for the longer, and you can decide. But the great thing, John, that I learned from all of this is that there are so many different approaches to vintage train travel today. And one that she tells us about relative to the Amish in Pennsylvania is really fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds really interesting because you get to actually talk to the Amish, which is
unusual.
Unusual, yes, because I don't think they talk to people very much. So,
well, she's going to tell us about that. And then, of course, all across the Canadian Rockies, there are incredible trips. Here in the Northeast, we've got so many up and down from Maine to New York, and they offer very specialty times of year, or you can go and really see the shoreline, and it's just wonderful. It really is. So let your imagination run wild with Maggie Espinosa on the next in our series on travel here on AmericaTrendsPodcast.com. Well, we want to welcome Maggie Espinosa to our AmericaTrendsPodcast.com. And this episode is going to be very interesting. We're talking about vintage train travel, and we've been doing a whole series, of course, on travel. And Maggie, people are looking for different kinds of experiences these days. And the train, there's such a lure about the train.
There is. I think what it is number one, people are tired of flying. I hate to put it that way.
Gee, I wonder where that comes from.
Yeah, unfortunately. But people want to slow down a little bit. They want to try something different. And if they're of a certain age, they don't remember train travel as a child. I myself don't remember it a lot. But so it has a certain lure to me that I really want, you know, it really seems wonderful to me. I've even taken Amtrak across the country from Los Angeles.
Oh, you did? You were the one who did that?
I did it twice, believe it or not.
Now, how complicated, honestly, is that? I mean, Amtrak is our railroad of record, I guess.
Yes.
So how difficult is that to do?
Well, you know, it's interesting because, unfortunately, Amtrak has to share the rails with the freight trains. And so because of that, it does slow things down. I've ridden trains in Europe and Asia, et cetera, and they seem to be much more timely, et cetera. But Amtrak is kind of, you know, at the mercy of that. But, you know, considering the funds that they have to work with, it really was very nice. Their dining car is very nice. It was easy to set up. You know, the sleeping accommodations were very nice. I was surprised. And it's interesting to go the whole way across the country and really see the change in topography and the cities, et cetera.
How long does that take?
It takes 3 days. And so you sleep, yeah, you're sleeping on the train for 2 nights. And then they'll stop in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and they'll stop at different places. You change trains in Chicago, so if you choose, you can stay in Chicago for a day or two, which is always wonderful, and then head the rest of the way to D.C. So you can kind of pick and choose how you want to go across the country, but if you go straight on through, it's 3 days.
And what about the people who take that kind of trip? I mean, do you find some really interesting folks who are looking for the same rustic adventure that you're looking for?
I've found two different kinds of people. Number one, I found people who were older, and once again, they were kind of, you know, going after that train travel of their youth. The men were usually train aficionados. And then a number of people just said, I'm tired of flying. I don't want to put up with flying anymore. And they chose to go via train.
And do most people want to stop and get out, stretch their legs in Albuquerque or spend a day in Chicago? Or do most people really have a West Coast, East Coast mentality who take this trip across the country and they just want to get to New York or wherever it may be as quickly as possible?
Most of the people were in it for the journey. You know, not so much point A to point B. They wanted the journey they would get out. When you get off in Albuquerque, there's a number of Native Americans who are selling turquoise, et cetera. And so they really took advantage of that, you know, to see kind of the different people along the route. And everybody got off in Chicago. And so it was, I didn't really meet too many people. It was just, get me there, that's all I want, head down, I'm heading to the East Coast.
In Albuquerque, did you find Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad or no?
Yes, I did.
Or Boxcar Willie. Was he in one of those freight trains that you were passing? You know, a lot of people look at this and they say, well, I really want to go on something that's a lot shorter than that. I really don't want 3 days in those, train cars. And you talk about and write about a wonderful experience that you had. And the article was called In Plain Sight. And Maggie, tell us where you went.
In Plain Sight is an article about an area in Pennsylvania. It's called Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And it is where the Amish people live. And it happens to be where I grew up. I am not Amish. I get asked that a lot. I'm not Amish. I laugh because I now live in San Diego, and they tend to stay in their own community, et cetera. I went on a vintage train ride while I was there, vacationing and visiting my family, and it was called The Road to Paradise. And this is a train called the Strasburg Railroad. It was founded during the first term of the Andrew Jackson administration. So it dates back, the first they can really tell is 1851. Yeah.
And now we're in the third term of Andrew Jackson, we are told, with Donald Trump. But never mind. Okay, so tell us. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Love the humor. So it's one that, you know, obviously when train travel started to kind of fall to the wayside with the highways being built and freight was now being taken by trucks, this particular Strasburg Railroad kind of fell into disrepair until a gentleman in the mid-50s, by the name of Henry Long said, you know, I really want to resurrect this. I want to make it something that's fun. He was a rail fan. They used to call themselves rail fans. And so he gathered a bunch of people together. He said, we are going to buy this at, you know, kind of in like at scrap prices because they need to unload it because the heirs are running. It said, you know, we're filing a petition. We don't want this train anymore. We're just dumping too much money into it. So basically, this gentleman resurrected this train with the help of a number of friends. 24 of them got together, and off it came. And they spent many, many, many years on this train to the day till now. It is still running, and it is still one of the trains that is the oldest in the United States, steam locomotive train in the United States. It still goes through the Amish country. So what I did when I went back to visit the family is, they have something called Dine with the Amish. And if you know anything about the Amish people, they really, it's a community that sticks to themselves. They don't have any cars. They use a horse and buggy. They don't have any electricity, et cetera. Some things are changing. They're starting to become a little bit more modern so they could keep the people in their community. But to be able to dine and talk to an Amish family is very rare. And so even myself growing up, I didn't get the opportunity to do this. So because now, you know, the Amish people are finding different ways that they can supplement their income because farming isn't doing it. They have this Dine with the Amish.
And are they very welcoming? Because, as you say, it seems like a rather insular community. How did they embrace this kind of tourism?
Well, they're very welcoming. It's interesting. There was a family on. It was the father, and he had his 13-year-old son, his 5-year-old son, and his 6-year-old daughter. And those four were the ones that were on there that while we were eating on this beautiful refurbished train, we would sit and ask them questions. And I think what's happening is that the younger kids now, even though they may not have a computer, they're privy to all this stuff. They know computers are out there. They know what's going on in the 21st century. And so I think that they are much more open and welcoming to the English. We are called the English. If you're not Amish, you're called the English. And Dan Stoltzfus, it was a Stoltzfus family, the 13-year-old, he got up and he told us all about his life. He was in eighth grade, and this was going to be his last year of school. They only go through the eighth grade.
Mm.
And he said that he went to a one-room schoolhouse. They have up to 40 kids in his class. He takes 7 courses, and of those courses, they must take German, which is, you know, Old English German is what the Amish speak, and they must do pen time, which is penmanship. It makes sense if they're not using computers. You know, they have no homework because the kids, they leave school, they go home, they help with the chores because there's milking of the cows, there's hoeing in the fields, there's cooking, et cetera. And this little 13-year-old boy was going to spend 1 year of vocational training the next year, and then he was going to go on to work for a living at the age of 14.
Wow. And these are short trips. I mean, this one was, what, about 45 minutes?
This particular trip was an hour. And what it is it's about, I'm going to say, it's a 9-mile trip round trip. And they pass through the countryside of Lancaster, past the Amish farms. We have to go over, you know, the rails go over roads, the railroad crossing where the Amish buggies are passing. It takes about an hour, maybe a little bit more, which is plenty of time for them to serve you food and eat and talk with this Amish family while you're eating. And you also eat the local food, which is very different, which anybody who's ever moved away from home, they know that what you miss so much is the food.
Well, let me ask you. I mean, Lancaster, I was surprised to read in your article, has over 500,000 people. And you say that the Amish are not a curiosity. They blend in. They work the farmers markets along with the English. So there is a lot of back and forth between the communities in their own way.
Very much so. As I said, growing up there, I moved away when I was 29. I didn't think twice about them, and nor did they think twice about me. It's just that it's very nice. It's a blending of communities, and they just kind of go along their daily life, and nobody really judges the other, and we just kind of, it's a very kind of harmonious, you know, blend, because we see them all the time when we go to the central market. It's filled with people selling the fruit and food and stuff they grow on their Amish farms. And so, yeah, you really don't think anything of it. It's the tourists that come out that seem to be in awe, which is understandable. You know, you come into this area and there's somebody riding a horse and buggy in 2017. I mean, that's an anomaly.
Well, we've all seen various movies and the like that give us a certain impression of the Amish. But, you know, if we take this and expand the notion that we want to be flies on the wall or visitors to places that are very unique or a unique experience from our own that involve trains, it seems. And reading about so many of them, I mean, we live in New England, and there are all kinds of trips that you can take across New England by train. And I'm sure in San Diego and Southern California, there are many of these trips. And then you read about some of these really expansive journeys, the Emerald Isle Express, 9 days that goes across Ireland, and then the cherry blossom special, so you welcome in the cherry blossom season in Washington, D.C. As a travel writer, is this becoming much more popular?
It certainly is. It's amazing how much train travel has kind of come to the forefront. One very famous or popular one, I would say, is to take the train across Canada, via rail. Many, many people talk about that. The other very popular one is the Copper Canyon Railway, which is in Mexico, and it goes into the Copper Canyon where they have the indigenous Mexican people living in this canyon, and you get to interact with them, which is amazing. I think what the beauty is of a lot of these train trips is not only is it romantic and that kind of thing, it's, and you know, kind of harkens back to yesteryear, but you get to interact with different people. There is another train trip, the Rovis Rail, which is over in Africa. It's huge. People go on this rail trip. And you go into this parlor car where you have a five-course dinner with African wines, you know, or wines from South Africa, and it's just, it rivals any kind of five-star hotel. You have trains that go into the Grand Canyon. That one's very popular. There's the American Orient Express. It's a whole company now who has this train. They also have hotels that the train will go, and you could stay in their hotels as well. So it's really very prevalent. It's out there, and people are taking advantage of it.
Lots of people, of course, are taking river cruises and houseboat trips and so forth. How would you typify the person who decides to travel by rail? And let's take, for example, across the Canadian Rockies. I mean, that's the one that I've heard of as being so romantic and something that you're just awestruck by the scenery. To give us a sense of who you think these people are.
I think it's numerous people. Number one, it's going to be people that like natural beauty, not so much going through cities, because there are long stretches where you're just seeing the countryside in different parts of Canada that are just beautiful. And if you go in the wintertime, the snow-covered landscape, wonderful. There are also people that just kind of enjoy a slower pace of life. You know, speaking of the Amish, as I was earlier, when I've taken any kind of train travel, I've also taken the train from San Diego up to San Francisco and then up into Oregon. You know, I've done this whole coast on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. And every time I'm on a train, I see Amish people. You know, it's their mode of transportation. They don't fly, usually. Everything will have comma, usually, afterwards, because things are changing with them. But so it's people who this is their number one form of transportation, and the non-Amish is because they have a slower pace of life, or they're retired, or they're just working part-time now, and they want to slow down and really see America. They've traveled all over the world, and they now want to see America and really see it, not fly over it.
Now, for somebody who doesn't have the temperament that we're talking about, it may not be the right trip for them. I mean, if they get a little antsy, if they don't like just going in a straight line. I mean, there has to be a group of people that you would say, no, you'd be better off getting there quickly and moving around, perhaps.
Certainly. And you know, I have to think that nowadays that might be the majority of people. You know, they might have 1 week off a year. Or they have three kids, you know, and they have to be able to transport this entire family. Train, I noticed one thing when I've gone on the train, it's not cheap. It's not that you go on it and you save all sorts of money.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. So it's not really one of these money-saving elements that we would look to because they can be expensive. It depends on the type of, you know, experience that you want to have.
Right. And you could ride coach and then sleep in coach with your chair reclined, et cetera. You could do that, but, you know, and that would be the economical way to go across country, wherever you're going to go on the train. But the majority of people, I think, really want to have a bed or some place to lay down and sleep. So when you start getting into the sleeper car, or you get into the one that has your own restroom, you know, there's a version where you can share the restroom at the end of the car with the people in that particular car, or you could get your own room that has its own restroom. And when you do that, it's quite expensive. I'm trying to think. It's been many years since I've taken that train trip, but I want to say it was $1,300 or $1,400 a person.
And now, what about somebody who may want to see a lot of the country, but they really are limited in terms of their gait, and they cannot really get around as well as they'd like, and yet they really want to see it, and they're not necessarily people who are looking to get out and walk around and be part of a very active tour or whatever it may be. This might be right for them, somebody who's a little older, who might want that slower pace.
Yes, and that's who I think the majority of the train travel people are now. I see a lot of older people on the trains, which makes sense if you have weeks and weeks to go somewhere or not. You know, the journey is in the trip, is the saying. You know, you might as well enjoy getting there and back.
Absolutely. And then, of course, there are many of these shorter run trips that have a special element to them in terms of their theme, or they may be just for kids, like Day Out with Thomas, or here in Connecticut, the Essex steam train experience that changes by the season and the holiday. So people can look for those one-day or two-hour trips all around America and all around the globe, I would imagine.
Well, exactly, and that's another thing that's fun about this Strasburg Railroad, as well as Dine with the Amish, which is very interesting. They'll do something called a hobo lunch, or they'll do a wine and cheese train, or flavors of Lancaster County. I was telling you, you know, they have shoe fly pie, and they have so many different foods. You could do that. We have a train here. I live in San Diego, and we have a train here, the Southwest Pacific Railway Museum, and they will take a train into Tecate, Mexico. And this is one of those old vintage trains where when it turns around, you just move the back of the seat up. So now you're you take the back and slide
it
up, and
that's
now you're
great.
Facing the other way. And this is a day trip as well, and you go down, you see Tecate, you come back over the border. And, you know, there's a lot of old little train museums, but they're very expensive to run, and they rely on people giving donations to keep them going, because it is not cheap to keep these trains running, to keep the tracks up to par, I should say. You know, when the Strasburg Railroad was being kind of refurbished, a lot of the money that these gentlemen raised went into getting the tracks up to par. You know, so this could be a very expensive venture and has to be really, really one out of love, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Is there any trip on a train that you would like to take that you've read about or that you've written about in terms of what you imagine would be a great trip that we haven't talked about today?
I would like to take the train in Australia, and I think it's the Gund. I might be pronouncing it incorrectly. It goes north to south in Australia. And it's supposed to be a wonderful train trip. And so I'm just trying to figure out the right time to get over there that I can spend a number of weeks over there and then take that train trip.
Well, it sounds great. And I thank you for coming by on America Trends Podcast before you've taken that trip, because then we couldn't talk to you for weeks on end.
That's right. I'll come back and tell you all about it.
Well, Maggie Espinosa, just remind people how they can look in at your writings and the way that you like to travel, which I think comports to the way a lot of people think about travel. You have a great way of connecting with us. Tell people where they can read all that you're doing.
They can go to my website, which is travelwithmaggie.com, and everything they'd like to know is on there, and they can even contact me through there.
Wonderful. Maggie Espinosa, a pleasure. Thank you for coming by today.
Thank you for having me. You have a great day.
If you like this episode, please leave us a kind rating or review. I'm on my hands and knees. Please do it on iTunes, because your review is really critical for us to continue providing this podcast. And John, I know that iTunes looks at this. They want to make certain that we have some ranking, some visibility, and that we're getting some traffic, and then they give you better positioning.
Absolutely. And this way, it'll put us in the forefront so you can find us much easier on your iPhone or Android, whatever you may be using.
And they may even send you out an alert. So please, if you can, don't miss a single episode of America Trends Podcast. And, John, they can subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher.com.
And also subscribe on our website.
Oh, absolutely.
We send out a little blurb, and we can also take your emails there at newsletter@rifkinradio.com. That's another way to get us.
And we do not sell or share
no
our
spamming,
list.
Nothing.
Well, I don't know. Does anybody want our list? I don't know, but we don't do it.
Good question.
Even if they asked us.
Even
nobody's
if they
asked
us.
But.
Right.
And when you do subscribe, let us know on Facebook and Twitter. We're getting very active on Facebook and Twitter. Our handle on both platforms, and John, this is really easy, at Trends Podcast. That's it.
That's real easy.
You like that? Did you get that?
I got that.
Okay.
I'm going to have to check it out
quiz.
Now. I'm going to have to twit it.
We want to thank you, of course, personally for subscribing. And we also would like to get some of your ideas and questions for future episodes of America Trends Podcast. And that's important, too, because we're all over the map.
our interest editorially in the future, John, has no bounds. But we want to know what it is that you'd like to hear from us, if there was a segment that you'd like to see us follow up on, or if there's something in depth that you'd like us to deal with. Please let us know that,
yeah,
too.
We're looking at the future. There's so much we can look at.
Yeah, and the topics that we've dealt with, I mean, we have gotten such incredible guests over the recent period, but they're only going to come to us if they know we've got an engaged and interactive audience.
Absolutely.
So it's really important that you become part of this podcast in so many different ways that we're sharing with you today.
You're absolutely right. We need your support and your help and your reviews.
And your ideas.
And ideas.
Or questions on Facebook and Twitter. And by the way, you can direct message us at Trends Podcast or using the hashtag Trends Podcast. You can also add an email address if you have a public one that you'd like us to give out.
Yeah, good. And you know what? You know what? We didn't mention Amazon.
Oh, yes. We have an Amazon store.
Yes.
And so if you go up, you don't have to buy the things that might be highlighted at that particular time. You can buy any book, and there's some benefit that comes back to us.
Just put what you're looking at in the little search engine block there, and it'll take you right to Amazon, and it'll help us out.
Absolutely. And it doesn't really cost you anything more, because they have built that into their pricing structure. So we get a little taste, and you get more programming like this, and you get the item that you were looking for. So it works
Absolutely.
For all of us.
It's a win-win.
Absolutely. Win-win-win.
Win-win-win.
So for more information on America Trends and for the latest updates on upcoming episodes, be sure to like our page on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. You can find us at Trends Podcast. And again, you can find John and I here in our studio performing as best we can for you.
That's right. Let us out.
What's that?
Let us out.
Let us out. No one is. Hey, listen, thank you so much for joining us today on America Trends. We'll see you next time.
We hope to hear from you soon.
Oh, by the way, we are posting all the time, and we're posting on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Good point.
So just be aware, if you're looking for new episodes, they're coming on Tuesdays and Thursdays. When you wake up, before you go out on your jog or your walk and you want to take us with you, we'll be there for you.
Very good.
All right. Have a great day.